Welcome to the Quick 10 podcast, brought to you by QuickTrack, focusing on all things FedCon and cyber defense from different perspectives and different personalities, all in 10-ish minutes. Here's your host, Derek White.
All right, welcome back to another episode of the Quick 10 podcast. I'm your host, Derek White, CPO, co-founder of QuickTrack, and today, very special guest is Karen Wise, network and system architect for the MVP Enclave and NIST 800-171 compliance program at Wise Technical Innovations, as well as assessor, implementer, and instructor for CMMC. So, you know, all the things and all the stuff. Karen, thanks for being here today.
Thanks for having me. I'm really glad to be here.
Yes, this is going to be a good topic. We're going to get into scope and boundaries and things that just need to be clarified for people's compliance programs and someday passing their assessment. But before we get started on that, quick reminder, as always, subscribe, follow along. All previous episodes of the podcast can be found on our website, www.quicktrack.com, through our social media, YouTube, et cetera, et cetera. So, Karen, are you ready to talk about scope and boundaries that impact an organization's compliance program?
Yes, it's my favorite topic.
Yes, okay, that's why you're on. Good. So, okay, so let's start with it from the front. Common misunderstandings about boundaries and scope, including things like alternative workplaces and workspaces, I should say. So talk a little bit about that before we kind of dive a little bit more into some details.
I always like to start with just kind of the foundation and just saying that, you know, 800-171 is kind of a really cool story about how to create a secure environment. And it's in alphabetical order. So a lot of people think it goes in the order it's supposed to be done, but really not necessarily. The systems and communication domain, that's where we start with our boundaries, right? This is where we have a technical solution that has boundaries, which is the very first control there. And it tells us what's supposed to happen at a boundary, and it tells us that we're supposed to monitor, protect, you know, detect and really control that flow of traffic at this boundary that we're supposed to have in a covered space or in an 800-171 compliance space. And so I always start there. And then I always tell people, go to the definition of a boundary in NIST. I'm a big NIST person. You know, just look at what the definition comes up at. A boundary requires a boundary protection device, and it tells you what it believes qualifies as a boundary protection device, which would be something like a rule, something that can apply a rule set and filter and accept and reject certain types of traffic. And they mention firewalls and gateways and, you know, layer three and above type devices. And so that's where I always tell people to start, is to start with that first control in the SC domain and to start with the definitions that NIST has given us. And 800-160 is also a very awesome companion that's mentioned a lot in the new rule and is incorporated by reference.
Well, yeah, so NIST Standard 160, for those that don't know, that is what exactly?
That is, you know, Dr. Ross puts a lot out on LinkedIn. He is the writer of, you know, a lot of these very important NIST documents that we use in CMMC. And that one's a systems security engineering approach. So it really is a network and systems engineering document and is a very important companion to NIST SP 800-171. And it's got all the details that we all want to forget, and it you know, that we tend to interpret it a lot of different ways. But if you go back to that, you would have a lot of your questions answered.
Yeah, for sure. No, that's an example of a resource that doesn't get mentioned enough in the wild. It gets mentioned plenty by, well, now that it's in the rule, but, you know, has been something people in your position, those that have been through the ringer on this over the years, is a great resource for sure. So when it comes down to then, you know, let's just say scenario is I'm customer A or customer of a prime A, and I'm trying to figure this all out with what I have today versus what I don't. And I do have multiple contracts. I do have some that have the requirements for protecting CY and some they don't. I've got multiple locations. You know, we make it here, we ship it there. So what are some of those nuances then there where you see common common, we'll say, maybe misdirection or common mistakes, but also commonalities that are, that if this is the case, then this is very best practice. Can you get into some of that on just how that impacts a company?
Yeah. So, I mean, our scope can't just be what we want it to be. It really is governed by our CUI flows. And I mean, step one is always going to be to capture all the contracts that you have that are, you know, part of this assessment boundary and the CUI related to those contracts, and then really understanding fully your flows. And so every unique flow must be captured. If you're doing the same thing 100 times, then you only need to depict that one time and represent it. But that is an important flow. So if you get it from a source, then you ingest it into a system, and then maybe you have to share it, or maybe you don't. That's an example of a flow, and all of that needs to be captured. What are these systems along the way, and what is that pathway, and all of the things that CUI kind of touches and hits and transverses through. And when you do that for all of the flows, and you can't miss one, or you really will not be able to accurately capture your scope. So once you have all those flows captured and you understand them, that's the start. And that can actually be the hardest part, right? I mean, I'm sure you've dealt with where we go to a customer and they just aren't sure, number one, whether it is or isn't CUI. They are not sure about all their different contracts and the way that people are working with it. And I'm always like, let's go talk to them. You know, let's go talk to the worker bee. We need to, and they keep putting me with, you know, these other people. And I'm like, no, we need to go talk to the people who work with the CUI. We need to understand exactly what they do. Even if it's a site visit out to a plant on the floor and watching them, you know, in the machine shop, that can actually reveal a lot about their flows. And sometimes it's good news for the company where they thought it was much more complex or had these elements that were mandatory. And you're like, oh, they don't actually have to do that. You know, this flow could be much different. And so that was the second part I was going to say is when you've captured all your flows, you might also realize that these flows could be different and that could help you with scoping. And you could choke some of this back or eliminate bad behaviors or reduce scope. But at the end of the day, we know that where that CUI is flowing is going to be in scope. And there's certain things that 800.171 tells us have to happen once we have areas that are in scope or people or facilities.
And so thank you for bringing up the topic of user behavior. Because that with the word boundary, that, you know, if you peel it down to what that means is defined boundaries. So that's things, anything, whether we're talking about data or sheep, you know, the boundaries that are keeping that stuff contained is what makes it so that you know where it's at, then you can protect it. And user behavior becomes difficult a lot of times because the users are usually the ones that get targeted in a lot of cases for, you know, misbehavior ends up where data then is out of a boundary. Because, and then no one knows it. And right, that's kind of the point of what NIST 171 wants to do. But there's education there. And when you get into multiple locations, and like you said, the worker bees and, you know, my responsibility is to come in and do my job. Those people are typically not cybersecurity compliance experts on what they're doing. But if you strip down the details and get the process flows and workflows into order, it can be challenging, but those worker bees are the ones that are handling. And sometimes it is as simple as a discussion of what is it that you do and then where to go from here. And yeah, that I think that gets lost a lot because it's overwhelming, but it is a topic that you're right. Starting at the beginning, starting at the basics and talk to your people. And then you're right. Sometimes, well, maybe Jimmy and Susie don't have to do that because it doesn't need to be part of the flow. So
You reminded me of one thing that I wanted to say that with the boundaries, people are always like, well, what is it a boundary around? I mean, because if you're really new to this and you're not a network or systems engineer, you can really break it down to people quite simply. A boundary is the outer shell of a covered space, and a covered space, you know, often is within an enterprise environment. It could be the whole enterprise environment, but it means that everything inside that boundary is 800.171 compliant. That is a covered space, right? Mm-hmm. And the second you go to the other side of that boundary, you're now external. And the only appropriate protection for information outside of a covered space is things like FIPS 140-2 encryption. And so you really could draw little bubbles around your covered spaces. It might, for a small company, just be one covered space with systems that process, store, and transmit. And if they have to receive or transmit, the second it's on the other side of their boundary protection device, it is now external to that space. Yep. And this is where our other controls kick in that we learn that have to be done when information goes external. And then it might transverse to a different compliance space. Maybe that space is FedRAMP, you know, box.com or something, but that it, you can't, we talked about this previously. You can't just leave that alone. You got to make sure that that is also a compliant and boundaried space. And every once in a while, and I think, you know, I've heard really smart people like, Ryan Bonner and Jeff Baldwin, it is possible to have a tiny, tiny covered space, like a system could be a covered space, but you don't get to ignore all of 800.171. You still have to have the boundary, even if it is a micro boundary around a system. If you're saying, you know, it's just this system at a home that is going to be in scope, you've got to be really careful not to break 800.171 when you get into those situations and find yourself without a boundary where CUI is at.
Yep, that's well said. It's, we, you know, sometimes in a just joking manner, we use the analogy of, you know, sometimes think about how you move around an inmate from prison to prison. Like, you know, I mean, you have to think about it that way sometimes, where you can't just not know where stuff's at, because that's failure number one. It's going to be, explain this to me, show this to me. And, well, I don't know. But if you think about how much time and effort that goes into moving around something that's sensitive and important, it's all the planning beforehand and understanding beforehand, and then the procedures to be followed, than it is to fix it on the fly. So, so that's a good transition into my next question, is getting technical. So getting technical on some of the stuff that can help with boundaries and help with systems. And like you said, I like the covered spaces. You know, what are some of the more important components and, you know, solid, we'll call it solid technical solutions out there that people can think about or understand or do research on and see if it fits their flows?
Good. So, I mean, I think the buzzword and the popular term is enclave. And I mean, I just can't tell you enough how often I see that word used, and it is not an enclave, simply because it does not create the boundary that we're talking about. So an enclave, if done properly, would have, you know, like when I've been through several JSVAs and we've brought our enclave there, and they spend days and days and days in that enclave. They spend all that time looking at the gateway, the rule set, the SIM, I mean, we could go on and on and on. Everything that you would ever assess on-prem with routers and switches and connecting, you know, components, that is all assessed the same way when you create a true enclave. We've got so many people that are going straight from their home computer up to GCC High, and they say, oh, I've got an enclave. I bought a GCC High license. No, you don't have any... There are a whole bunch of controls that are not being met in that situation. And we don't just forgo controls or throw them away because we're sitting someplace different. They, in general, you know, most of them have to be met.
Okay. Yeah. And right. And the same thing can be said about buying separate tools to do different things that can help you meet compliance. And there's encryption tools for sending it to my customer. And great. FIPS 140-2, great. But like, how is that? And where's the control? Who's responsible? And a lot of that is the stuff we were talking about beforehand on, you know, maybe the approach is you're on your way, finish it up. Maybe it is the enclave. Maybe it's not. So that was just my opinion on that. So I know where you were going with there, but anything else to add there before we move on?
Well, I was just going to say, you know, you don't have to do an enclave. You can go enterprise, and a lot of companies have to go enterprise, and there's a freedom to be had in securing your entire enterprise environment. It's a much different approach and absolutely necessary for a lot of companies. And that is, again, going to have a main boundary, and it may have a bunch of internal boundaries where different projects are being done and need to know is achieved and least privilege is achieved in those larger environments. And in smaller environments, they might be able to do a cloud enclave or even an on-prem enclave, where they just kind of limit those flows to smaller areas or limit them to the cloud 100% is something that a lot of people are trying to do to reduce scope and have a simpler assessment and maybe a simpler workflow.
Yeah, I mean, the old mindset of when the cloud became a thing, right?
Yes.
Well, it's not my infrastructure anymore, so it'll be fine. And those days are not the same as they used to be. So that stuff's all very, very important. So thank you again for this topic. There's plenty more here. So if this is making you, your eyebrows go up or making you sweat or making you excited, then this is why Karen's on. This is why we had you on. It's a topic that we're all very specialized in. So it's great, but we want to help, right? The goal is to get people to make it, and we don't want people to be stumbling along the way. So to find more from you, and please correct me if I'm wrong here, but website for you, www.wtinetworks.com.
Yes.
Correct, right? Yep. And then I will tell everybody right now, follow Corinne on and her company on LinkedIn. It is a great space for these topics. I told you this before we started this, is there's ways to help and clarify and be specific and professional, and then there's ways not to, and you do a great job of explaining that, and that's what matters. So can't recommend that enough. And for all, again, same thing as before, these will be available on YouTube if you want to watch. They'll be available on your favorite podcast platform if you want to listen to this one and others. We will definitely have every guest that we've had on for the first, 11, 12 episodes on again, because all of these topics will go through evolvement. But now that the CMMC rule is here and there's more to come, this is the time to get into the details of what matters most. So. Thanks for all you do.
I really enjoy your contributions and watching these.
Yeah, this is fun. And thanks for being on again. And we'll stay in touch, and we'll have you back on again, and we'll see where it goes.
Awesome.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode. And make sure to subscribe to the Quick 10 Podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And check us out on YouTube as well. For more information about QuickTrack, visit our website at www.quicktrack.com. That's QuickTrack.com.